Meet Sven.
Yeah.
He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day.
Yeah!
Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's July 10th, 2010, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long. Welcome back to sunny, cool Florida.
Yes. Yeah, the day I left, it was like 108. Vegas, and it was like just unbelievably hot, and I was glad to be back. I was glad for the humidity, because man, my I think I caught the only thing I can catch out there. I couldn't catch any cards. I just caught a cold. I tell you, it's brutal. It was a brutal trip for me, man. Absolutely brutal.
Well, good. We'll look forward to hearing all about the brutalness in our main topic, and we also have another Vegas veteran joining us today. A new person on the show. We're gonna try to work in. Think he's got some potential. Mike Faso is his name.
Yeah, I just got back from Vegas, too. I was out there before Chris, and I thought Chris was going to be out there while I was out there, so I went looking for him, and I went to all the places I thought he would be, like Pure and Tryst and Ghost Bar and the Cat House. And I finally went to Taboo, and I said, you know, Chris has got to be here. Where's the VIP table service area, the bottle service? And they said, no, he's not here. I said, well, he goes by Will Hop. And they said, no, we still haven't seen him. So once he didn't show up there, I figured I had missed him. But
You got my dates wrong there, buddy. But
I'm sorry.
I definitely visited those places when I was out there. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I missed you.
Well, it's great to have you back, man. We haven't had you in a while. And, you know, it's funny. When I was out in Vegas, Scott, I bumped into Short Stack Sheamus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I had not actually met him before. We just always talked, you know, via email and the forums and stuff. And he's like, I do have one complaint about the show. And I said, okay, well, what's going on? He goes, you guys need to work in more Faso. And it's funny that as soon as I come back, we're like, hey, Faso's ready to be on the show.
Yep, and unlike your trip, Chris, mine was not brutal.
Oh,
mine
good.
Was, I call it a Knit's Delight. And in fact, I'm starting up a new organization. It's called knitnation.org. And it really is fun to play that way when you're out there, and I'll give you some pointers on that.
Thanks, buddy. I can use them, I tell you, because... It didn't matter whether it was a knit or not, though. There was things that were beyond my control on a lot of this. So, but it was all right. You know, it was kind of a grind being out there alone and doing work. You know, I mean, if you're out there just hanging and playing and trying to enjoy Vegas, that's one thing. But it was kind of a grind. And I'm glad to be back. I got to tell you, I got a lot of work ahead of me, though.
Well, I'm glad you guys are both back because I had to try to hold together this apes free roll all by myself here from Annie Up headquarters, where you're all gallivanting around Sin City. And of course, I failed as I always do with these free rolls. Folks that got there around 9 o'clock on Wednesday, like me, getting ready to play a free roll. Not really sure why, because it was for a $1 tournament. But it was like the Simpsons coming home, no couch. Free roll wasn't there. But then we realized that the event for the real event had already had 10 entrants. So, interesting. You do the math. You're like, wow, I wonder if that free roll went off before 9 o'clock. And it turns out it went off at noon. Sigh. So, deep apologies to everybody who, like me, showed up to try to win a $1 seat on Wednesday night. And then, of course, the other problem, though, is that they had the rebuy event, which is Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, supposed to be a $1 buy-in. It has it listed as $5, so we're working on now. Hopefully it's fixed by now, but if not, we're trying to get it down to $1. Certainly will be a lot fewer rebuys at a $5 buy-in.
Man, the place just falls apart when I'm not around.
Yeah. You know, I feel terrible over this whole free roll thing this year, and apes are just things are falling through the cracks. trying to get our stars friends in line here, but we'll see what happens. But I do know that the next free roll is going off at the right time because I checked already. That will be noon on July 24th. Deuce to 7, triple draw limit.
Nice.
That should be a fun one. For all, it's almost a guaranteed seat because I can't imagine I'm going to get more than 10 people signed up for that free roll. But tune out.
Turn on, tune out,
yes.
Drop in.
Tune out on Wednesday night so I have a shot of winning some money. But join us for the rebuy event, 9 p.m. Eastern, always on Poker Stars. But, you know, we got there was no apes, right? But fortunately, because of the wide breadth of the Anti-Up Nation, there was another Anti-Up tournament going on that night, and that is the Zips series. And, you know, I've gotten in this last couple Wednesdays. I finished second last week, guys. Got in it this Wednesday because obviously the race wasn't going on. And that's right. You can call me a champion. I do not have an Anti-Up banana yet, but I do have a zipper, whatever that is. I've been told it's in the mail. And but you know what's really funny about this, besides the hilarious fact that I actually won a tournament, is that I sat down, I'm like, oh, all right, cool, it's Omaha, high low, all right, I'll play that. I went probably two levels. Kristen Vasso, two levels before I realized it was Omaha high only.
I've done that.
And I still won this bad boy.
Oh my God.
I had one hand where I it was just a gorgeous hand. I had the flush on the turn, and I had the second nut low. The three of clubs comes on the river. Steel wheel, baby, right? Bet gets somebody to fold, so of course I got to just tell everybody steel wheel. Of course, I think people were like, oh, well, steel wheel, big deal. There's no low. And then the very next hand, I'm fine calling this crazy jamming pot because I have the low, and boom. All the chips go to the guy next to me. And that's when I look up, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is Omaha High. So first of all, I asked, who on this great earth plays Omaha High Limit?
We do in our home game.
Very rarely in our home game, but yes, in our home game. But it's just not a game that seems suited for a limit. I mean, Omaha High Low, completely different. But High Only, that's a pot limit game, isn't it? Am I wrong?
I love it as Limit.
Ah, oh, you're killing. Absolutely killing. But, you know, made me think, what was the longest someone in the history of poker has gone in an Omaha High game thinking it's Omaha High Low?
Yeah, I'm sure those records are kept, Scott. I'm sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they're not
somewhere.
Kept, but there is somebody out there that's lasted a long time. The longest time.
It's probably you, buddy.
That'd be nice. Interesting if it is, but I doubt it.
I did that once, but it was a pot limit high, and I thought it was pot limit 08, and I think I went like 10 or 12 hands, and I won two or three hands thinking it was 08 before the penny dropped, and I actually started folding ace-deuce.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's an easy thing. The reason I bring it up is because I think it's one of the games that you can go the longest without knowing. Because
Let's
say you're drawing for lows and the lows don't get there in the river and you fold. You don't realize that it's not a high-low at that point. You only realize when you have a low and a low only and you don't get the pot.
Yeah, but two levels of watching. I mean, you're watching for two levels.
You
want to see pots
when you're playing
not getting
online.
Split.
I was watching Independence Day.
Of course you were.
You're not paying attention online. Come on.
It explains your record.
Yeah. Gee, now we got to pay attention when we're playing online. What's next? But anyhow, so folks, join the Zips Parade. It's a fun little tournament. A lot of anti-uppers in it. And just be sure you know what the game is. Chris, we've been saving up a lot of feedback on the show. We've got a lot lately. We just had so much good stuff that we haven't got it in yet. But I had to get these two things in this week, mostly because we didn't have anything else to talk about. but also because they're pretty darn funny. Remember a couple weeks ago we did this Hand of the Week with our listener that went up to Montreal.
Right.
And played with the French deck with the double D's or double R's or whatever they are. And, you know, we had a lot of fun with that. Well, we've got two emails since then about it. The first from our very good friend Jason Holly, the creator of this great J Design playing cards. He's also, not only does he design cards, but he is somewhat of a card historian, Chris.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is a passion for him, not just the designing and selling, but actually understanding it. And he shot me an email to remind me that it was the French who first put letters at the top of the cards. And that the British thought it was silly until eventually, obviously, they realized that, well, actually, it's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, because if you don't have those letters, then you can't do the cool peek at the, you know, the lipstick camera only at the corner pips, you know, and know what the hell you have.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure the guy in my Omaha High-Low Limit game last night when I went out to Tribulane, he learned how to play poker with those old British cards because he had to hold his four cards up so I could see them the entire time, even when we were heads up in hands. You would think it would be a bigger advantage for me than it was, but it wasn't. But yeah, so that's a little bit of card trivia for you. But then we got another email this week, and it comes from Christian, a French literature teacher from Montreal. And I got to say that I am impressed that it was a French literature teacher that called to complain about me before an English literature teacher. Somewhat shocking, I think. But he said he's been listening to us for about 3 years and decided to write for the mailbag for the first time because apparently, Chris, I make him laugh so hard when I try to speak French. You know, and I take a little offense to this because I took 2 years of French in high school. Almost 3 years, but the cute girl dropped it the third year, so really no reason for me to stick around after that. You know, so he's going to give me a little lesson here. But what he said was we told him what the these cards were, but we didn't tell him what the actual words that the letters stood for. So he's giving a special gift to himself and millions of French listeners around the globe by explaining this to us. So the V stands for, any guesses?
I have the information in front of me, so I'm
not
guessing.
Oh, that's you're cheating.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say
Viscount.
How about Le Valet?
Oh.
And he reminds me it's not valet.
Le Valet.
Le Valet. The Q stands for La Dame. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, La Dame.
So like, how does a Q stand for Dame? I don't understand. What's the word?
That's a good question. Maybe Christian can write it next week and get double swag.
Yeah, let's not have to deal with the feedback French stuff again a third week in a row. All right, let's.
Reading what you said. So the A stands for Lass. As he rises, yes, in French, the best starting hand of poker is a pair of ass. And then finally, the K stands for Leroy. Or is it Lois?
It's Lois because he says it's like Patrick Waugh.
But I don't know that. I'm not.
It's hockey.
You're lucky. I'm just picking up cricket now. Now you want me to learn hockey too? But of course he says Patrick Waugh because frankly he's not far from an ass. He says, "There you go. Hope your French is getting better by the minute. I have a feeling that I just butchered it even more." But he does say that he loves the show, or as they say in French, "Félicitations pour votre beau programme."
Oh my God. That is brutal. In the words of Chris, that is brutal.
That was the translation he gave me. Félicitations pour votre beau programme.
Balzac.
Man, you know, they're syllables, Scott. They're not words. You were saying each syllable like they were words.
All right, so félicitations.
Oh no, more. You got Sion on there too.
Sion, boy, that's a lot of darn syllables in this word. Félicitations.
There you go.
Pour votre beau programme.
There you go.
Closer.
Much better.
House, finally.
Much better.
Unfortunately, this is English, you know, because I haven't even mastered that language yet, so.
That really burns my French toast.
Oh! Well played, well played. All right, well, here's the thing. This is going to be this week's mailbag, Christian. We appreciate it. And guess what? We have the perfect gift for you. They are not French, but they are very much accepted worldwide. A deck of the J Design playing cards from ClassicPlayingCards.com, the official playing cards of Annie Up. And you know what? Maybe Jason will send you some lessons on cards when he sends those out. And he also wants to let us know that if you go to ClassicPlayingCards.com, he's running a contest all this month for some of those great uncut sheets of cards that people love so much. So check out his website and win some of those. If you can't win them here. Whew, boy, I'm just like carrying the show here. I hope you guys just take over the main.
I'm sorry, I got jet lag over here. I'm just I'm nodding off in between these these all long tangents that, you know, our show's going to be like 6 hours today. But all right, let's keep going.
Well, very quickly, we need to remind folks that our next cruise is coming up October 25th. Go to annieupmagazine.com/cruise, and I'll repeat that, annieupmagazine.com/cruise. This is a website full of information, so when you email me asking for information on the cruise, I am just going to send you annieupmagazine.com/cruise. So if you're going to go to our Contact Us page and send me a email asking for more information, just go straight to the source. You're already there. Cut out the middleman. But he has $2.99 a person, booked through me. You got to book by August 19th to get that price, so we're bearing down here about a month month out. And in case no one's noticed, there's only two shuttle launches left. You know that little spacecraft that we have?
Yeah.
And it just happens to launch from Cape Canaveral, which is right next to Port Canaveral. And the second to last one has now been scheduled for November 1st. So, you know, come to the cruise, spend a couple days going to visit the rat with the kids, and then watch the space shuttle. Pretty good vacation, I think.
Stay for the scrubbing.
Hey! You're not supposed to say that.
That's that's right. Sorry.
A little known thing for us Floridians here that they always scrub these launches.
No, that one's going to go off without a hitch, I can tell.
But we did get a call with a very good question from Calvin. And about the cruise, and let's listen to that.
Hey guys, how you doing? It's Calvin. I just had a question. You know, I just got done listening to this week's episode, and Scott's talking about how, you know, more opportunities for people to play. I was just wondering if on your cruise, if you have to be a part of the poker party to play poker. I believe it was like that before, and if so, why not let other people that did not know about it a chance to come on and play? I mean, it may help you guys out as far as getting to people in there that don't play as often. Anyway, if I was wrong, I do apologize. But just a question, just a thought. All right, have a good day.
Well played, Calvin, well played. But here is the deal. It is not Anti-Up that prevents people who did not book through Anti-Up from playing in the Anti-Up Poker Room. It is Royal Caribbean. It is a Royal Caribbean policy for groups that only group members are allowed to play or be part of group activities on the ship, which in this case is the poker room. I really don't know why. Trust us, we would love to have 2,500 fish in our poker room on board, so it is not us. So I'm not really sure why, other than maybe liability and all kinds of things. You know, anytime you get a lawyer involved, things get messed up.
Yeah, and it was the same on Carnival, too, that we couldn't have anybody in the room that wasn't part of our group. So it's just their thing, and you know, we'd love to have them in there, but it's just not something that's going to happen.
Yeah, and I felt bad. I got an email from somebody this week. Hey, myself and my buddy, we booked already. Let us know how we get in the poker room. And I had the email back and say, well, the good news is that you booked early enough that you can cancel and get 100% refund and book through us, because that's the only way you're getting in the poker room.
Oh, man.
Haven't heard back, so I hope that's not going to be a problem for that poor reader. But yes, you have to book through us, and that's why. But, you know, Calvin, we do have some swag for you. We do have another hotline coming up later, but Chris is going to do the hand of the week this week, so we're going to give the swag that I would normally give Chris to you, Calvin, for calling.
Damn it!
And that is a free download of the Poker Hand Breakdown Pro, a hand history analysis program for single or mixed games, and you can check that out at element26.net. Element deuce six.
I guess we can kick off the Anti-Up news desk, even though pretty much all this news happened right in front of me while I was out in Vegas.
No, it's not news to you.
It's not news to me, but it might be news to the Anti-Up nation, so why don't we kick it off?
All right, the World Series of Poker shattered an attendance record this year. I love the word shattered. It's a strong verb, right? With 72,966 total entrants from 117 countries or territories, more than $187 million in prize money, that participation is up 20% from last year.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you what, later on in the show, I'll have a couple of comments about the 117 countries who were there, because it seemed like 117 countries were in the media room, too. It was it was something else, man.
Well, I thought it was interesting, too, that they said 117 countries, and they put an asterisk, you know, and as journalists, we always like to look for the asterisks.
Right.
And it turns out that they count Puerto Rico as a country. They count U.S. Virgin Islands as a country.
Huh.
And apparently their reasoning for that is to show the total breadth of participation in this.
I tell you, so, if we get the Pope to play, it'd be 118 countries.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Consider that, you know.
So I like the fact that they wanted to show the total breadth by essentially lying about the total breadth. So that's why I added or territories. That's all they had to do, and get rid of the asterisks and not get on my bad side, but whatever.
Okay, well, this is an interesting one for me to be reading because I'll tell you after it. Peter Eastgate, the 2008 world champion, has announced that he's giving up poker and will only return to the game if he needs the money or gets bored, USA Today reports. So I'm there. I'm working that day. I get everything I need to get, and everybody I'm following in the main event is out. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to call it a short day and go have some dinner. I go to dinner. I get home, and the people we're staying with, good friend Dave and his wife Chris, they're like, oh, my God, did you hear about Peter Eastgate? Oh, my God, that's incredible. And I'm like, no. It's happening all around me, and I have no idea. Could believe it. Literally, it was happening, and I didn't hear one word about it while I was there the whole day. And then when I get home, they're like, oh, my God, what was it like? It must have been crazy there. I'm like, no. Nothing happened at all. It was pretty weird, but well, I don't know. What do you think about this?
It probably would have been a bigger deal if Jamie Gold decided not to play, right?
I don't know.
I guess Peter has a little Paul Wasaka in him. You know, he just, you know, moves on from one thing to the next. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. Just because you're a world champion doesn't mean that you have to be chained to the game for the rest of your life, right?
That's true. I just think about the relationship he has with Stars, and you know he's got to be getting a pretty good deal there, and to just give it all up because you're bored. I mean, man, send it in. Mail it in. Just get it there and get that free money, you know.
Hey, life's too short to be spending 20 years working for a newspaper that that you don't like. So, you know, yeah, you got to do what you got to do. So, Peter, I support you. And if you want to back me, I support you even more. All right, finally, in the player signing news in the past week, Vanessa Selps joins Poker Stars, Shannon Elizabeth joins Carbon, and boxing champ Evander, the real deal Holyfield, joins, appropriately enough, Real Deal Poker.
I saw all three of these people. I saw all three of them wearing their new patches with their new companies. And Shannon Elizabeth, that was kind of weird, too, because she was sort of with Doyle's Room. But yeah. Never actually was, or I don't know what that relationship was, but it was probably the shortest one ever in the history of poker sponsorships, other than Joe Catta. But I did see Evander Holyfield out there, too, you know, doing the obligatory hold your fist up at somebody else's face like you're punching them photos, you know. All right, well, you know, the hotline didn't ring for a while. It turns out we had it disconnected, I guess, or something. I don't know, because we finally got somebody to call. This is from D.C. He said there was a long list at one of our new casinos in our coverage area. Let's see what he has to say.
Hello, this is BitGuru from Washington, D.C. I wanted to let you know that I drove up to the Hollywood Casino, Charlestown, West Virginia, for the grand opening of their poker room. It was supposed to open at 8. I got there a few minutes before 8. They had taken so many names that they were refusing to take any more. And as of 9 o'clock, the room had still not opened, waiting on some equipment. There's people waiting around. It's very crowded. And it looks like I'm going to have to drive home without playing a single hand of poker. But it's good that in the next few days they'll be normalizing and getting into the groove of things. And I'll come back in a few weeks. Hello, this is BitGuru again. I wanted to let you know that the Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races in Charlestown, West Virginia, did in fact open. The poker room, brand new, started at dealing hands at 1:30 a.m., continued to 4 a.m., and then stopped. For the next few days, their hours are going to be 8 p.m. until 4 a.m., and then eventually 24 hours a day.
It sounds like a madhouse up there, and but you know, I figured it would be. I mean, this is a casino very close to the D.C. area, and sounds like they did it right. So, and as you mentioned before, it's one of our new distribution locations. Next month, we're hoping to get into Pennsylvania and Delaware, too, as we continue that march around the country and all those great little poker areas. So, but great news for all the folks up in D.C., and I'm sure our good friend Lee Childs is happy to have a real poker room pretty close to home.
Yeah, that, matter of fact, I was going to say that. I talked to him out there a couple of times, and that was one of the things he said was, it's like literally right there. We don't want to do anything with him there, and he'll be more than open to doing it. So that's really cool, real exciting stuff.
That number again is 813-448-1120. And if you're a great report early in the morning at Hollywood Casino, we're going to send you a $10 staking package from getastake.com. So send us your email, and we will get that out to you. And as we mentioned, we already had the pod, our mailbag earlier, but if you want to join the mailbag next week, that is podcast@annieupmagazine.com.
This is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, a really good blog that you should visit. And this is another one-minute mystery, the case of the purloined letter. It's incredibly early at a multi-table online tournament, and it folds around to the cutoff, who, due to a bad decision on the last hand, is forced to move all in with this tiny stack of 215.
There are all kinds of people, sir.
Strangely, the button requests time, then folds, leaving a battle of the blinds. The small blind calls the 215, and I look down at two black aces. Nothing more difficult than a big pair in an early level, but obviously I'll raise, and I make it 888. Now the small blind calls time, but eventually calls. The flop comes down four of hearts, queen of hearts, eight of clubs, and he checks. I expect pretty much any bet here to end the hand, but when I bet 500 into the pot of 1800, he calls without delay. The first decision he has made without a delay.
Surprising, to say the least.
The turn's the three of hearts, and when he checks, I check behind. The river's the seven of hearts, and after a delay, he bets 750. So, fold or cry and call?
Okay, first of all, I'm glad that we have Faso on the show this week. Not that he's listened to this and can add anything to it, but when I see words like purloined, I immediately think of Faso, because only Faso and Columbo had the vocabulary come up with words like purloined.
I hear the word purloined and I get hungry.
Yeah, but you know what I was impressed with is I spelled it correctly, though. When I typed it down in the notes and then I put it in the old Google, I'm like, yes! all right, well, here's the thing. I just can't get past that this smells like the small blind has a suited ace of hearts. You know, his call of the cutoff on the flop gives us no real information. The fact that he calls a large raise out of position smells like a suited ace king or ace queen. If so, the flop action is consistent with wanting to get to the flush as cheaply as possible. And the turn action is also consistent with that, as he's hoping to trap for some more chips. So when we don't oblige... I think that smallish river bet is entirely consistent with his line so far. And even if we're wrong, and I don't think we are, even a deuce of hearts has his beat here. So I think it's terrible to lose this many chips early on, but I see absolutely no reason for us to add to the misery.
I'm going to continue with the bad decisions I've made all week long and call. Just because of the amount of money that's out there, I don't know. I just feel like I can afford it. I'm going to call. I probably shouldn't. It's probably a bad idea, and that's pretty consistent with what I did all week. So I'm going to call and listen to part two and watch how I made a huge mistake. This guy's probably got the stone cold nuts. So,
well, our folks out at the forum at annieupmagazine.com/forum said, as played, and they put a caveat here, as played, it's almost unanimous to fold. And they are almost unanimous in rebuking Columbo for playing this hand so poorly that the flop bet was not nearly enough to get a flush draw off.
Okay, I'll agree with that, too. I probably should have bet a little more on the flop, but I'm just calling because I'm a donk. So let's hear part two.
Welcome back. Well, could you think of a reason not to fold? I certainly couldn't. As a matter of fact, I was ready to fold if he bet on the turn. He called a re-raise pre-flop, then he check calls a probe bet on the flop. At these early levels, I suspect draws, and I think he made the flush on the turn and checked it.
Best to avoid the fireworks, sir.
To protect his image this early, he shows ace of hearts, ten of hearts, and we know for sure. If I bet more on the flop, at least I would have forced a mistake on his part, although I still expected he would have called. But I was playing too cautiously too early, giving him odds to draw. And that makes it my mistake. In my minor defense, I would have made a large bet on the turn if he checked a non-heart, shutting him out, but the seven of hearts pretty much ended the hand for me. Until next time, this is Columbo reminding you, don't just play smart, play correctly.
Remember Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited. He already knows that Poker Stars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem five Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that five of our Poker Stars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Well, Scott, as you can tell, I am back, but I'm still kind of tired. I'm still kind of nasally from the trip, which is kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, I really thought that when you go to the desert, your sinuses would clear up and dry up, but apparently I've picked up this sort of nasally problem out there. I don't know how that happened, but
no, I think they dry up so much that your body overcompensates for it.
Maybe that's it, because I'm my butt's kicked, man.
Well, I tell you, I didn't miss not going to Vegas this year. I thought I might. You know, it's the first time in a while that I haven't gone out with you for the World Series, or even by myself. The 1 year I went, and I got to stay home for my favorite holiday and watch it rain the entire freaking weekend. Which is perfect for a holiday that seems to have fireworks as part of the big attraction. So thank you so much for this year giving me the year off so I can sit here and watch it rain. So I will be happy to hear your stories of what I missed out on.
Well, I got to tell you, after about 8 flights, 3 different airports, my full tube of toothpaste is gone. A slow day at Tampa International Airport and me choosing to pack my little travel bag in my backpack instead of my suitcase leads to me losing my Aquafresh finally.
Yes!
Some there guy, you know, he's
in
got
the world.
This guy's got nothing better to do, you know, and I had it rolled up so that it was even small looking, you know, in the bag, so it looked like it was small. Guy pulls it out and he's like, "We gotta look at one of your tubes." I'm like, son of a... I'm like, why?
He's like, wait, I had surgery 2 years ago for that. What's going on?
No, what's the deal, man?
Okay. He could have looked at a different tube, so let's not get too worked up here.
So, you know, this guy takes it, and he's like, yep, this is a... I'm like, look at it, dude. There's definitely not more than 3 ounces in this thing. No, we got to go what's on the side there, you know. I'm like, how ridiculous is that, you know? I'm like, here, just take it and taste it. Jesus, you know, give it back to me.
Yeah. Yeah, take it, and when you keel over dead, then I'll be running to the plane.
So I lost my Aquafresh. This is all the first day. I should have known.
That is, you know, there's nothing else you can tell me in the rest of this show. And I really don't know what else you're going to tell me the rest of the show. But there's nothing else that's going to give me more pleasure.
I know.
Knowing that you're stick a finger in the face of the TSA Act has finally caught up with you.
But it only caught up with me because I put it in my backpack. I guarantee if I put it in my case, they wouldn't have done anything.
I totally agree because I've gone the Cosenza route of traveling now and no one's touched it. So,
but I should have known from that moment on I was going to have a horrid trip. You know, I should have known that that was jinxing my whole trip. You know, so this lady cuts in line in front of me. You know how, you know, at Southwest you got your little area that you're set to the stand in? I'm standing like, I don't know, A37 or something. And in front of me, this lady's got, like, A60. I can see her holding it. And I'm like, lady, you're standing, like, A30, and you have A60. She cuts in front of me. She sits in the seat I wanted. I have to sit next to this small child and his dad, right? The kid sits in between us, takes his shoes, his sandals off, so he's got his bare feet.
Hate that.
Lays down on the chair, puts them on me, aims his ass at my in my direction, proceeds to nap and fart the entire flight to Vegas. It was the most disgustingly smelly trip I have ever taken in my life. This kid had gas the whole way.
All right, I take back the toothpaste thing. This is much better.
I'm like, oh my God, this trip is horrid, you know? I get there, I get my car, and what's the car I get? I get a Rio.
Yes!
You know, I get a Rio.
Did it come from Goose from Top Gun?
To go to Rio. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be a sign. You know, I'm going to do well. I got a Rio car, going to the Rio, you know. Eh, no, it was to tell you to avoid the Rio. This car, I would gun it, and it wouldn't go past 35 miles an hour. I had guys beeping the whole time at me. I'm like, I'm trying to go faster, man.
It's kind of car that you get passed by kids on skateboards. And throw it on his rascal.
Yeah, you got the old lady holding the steering wheel over her head, driving by me, looking at me, giving me the finger. So, you know, big shout out to Big Dave. He's originally from Ohio. He lives out there now. Let me stay with him. And they live in one of those neighborhoods where you can't park on the street. And I parked on the street. And I got one of those orange stickers.
Uh-oh.
That wouldn't come off the window, you know. And I'm here, got to return a rental car. Luckily, he had one of those scrapers. So I go back, I return the rental car, everything's cool. I go, and they're like, hey, you're not going to get out tomorrow. I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, Obama's in town. I'm like, what? Yeah, the President Obama's coming in to give a speech on Thursday. And I'm like, yeah, I'm flying out on Friday. Well, yeah, but he flies out Friday morning, and they shut down the airport, like, for 2 hours, like, each way. I'm like, what? Sure enough, I get to the airport, and everything was on time. I'm in line. I'm getting ready to board, and it says flight leaves at 9:55. It's like 9:45. I'm walking up. They're about to call our names and our numbers, and then all of a sudden the clock goes 10:55. I'm like, what? Sure enough, man, Obama's on the runway. I got pictures, too. I took pictures of US One, Air Force One, whatever they call it, and there he was. They saw the plane go down and taxi, turn around and take off. And I was only delayed about 45 minutes. But, I mean, no matter what I did, you know, the traveling was just horrid. You know, and then the last night I'm there, I'm driving back to Dave's house. I'm at a traffic light. Who pulls up next to me? Gavin Smith in a convertible Mercedes with some woman driving. And I'm like, hey, man, Gavin, what's going on? He turns around and goes, hey, Chris. What's going on, man? Where are you going? You know, and I thought he was going to invite me to a party or something, right? Light turns green. The chick takes off. He's like, oh, I couldn't even talk to him. I'm like, I'll see you in Florida, because he's coming down for all the high limits, you know. But it was like everything I did, you know. There were PokerStars vans and Ultimate Bet buses and all these big buses from the Palms. And Daniel Negreanu, I saw him when I was playing at the Palms. He was staying there, I guess, or something, because it was part of the Stars thing. And he almost sat down at my 1-3 table. That would have been hilarious. But anyway, those are my transportation notes. I mean, it was ridiculous. Everything that touched, whether it was a car or a plane or a bus or a tram, there was some sort of problem, and I should have taken it as a sign that I shouldn't have played while I was out there.
Did you ask whether Obama got his toothpaste on the board?
I bet he did. I bet he's got a full tube of Aquafresh. No problems there. But I ran into a couple of crazy people while I was out there, and I'm sure
Vegas, that's required.
Yeah, and I'm sure Faso did too, right?
Well, I don't have the same travel worries that you had. I mean, I got out there, nonstop flight, picked up my car. I went.
Did you get a Rio?
No, it was a it was some kind of Kia or something. Or
that's what mine was. It was a Kia Rio.
Well, mine was a little bit bigger. I wanted the Ford, what is it, the Ford Eclipse was what I wanted, but didn't have any of those. So, but the car was fine. But, you know, it was very international out there when I was out there because the World Cup was on. I was pulling for my my team, Slovenia.
Communist.
And the U.S., and
yeah, pull for them both, buddy. It's like Brett Favre for the Packers. Got to make a decision.
There were plenty of there was a lot of international flavor to the tables, and there were a couple of players that were very funny. I was playing mostly at the MGM, which I guess is my favorite poker room out there now. I was playing 1-2 because I was having trouble finding limit games. And as you know, 1-2 is not really my game. In fact, no game is really my game. But, so I'm sitting there at the MGM, and this French guy sits down in the 10 seat, and I'm in the 9 seat. And he's like, I would like $200. And so before the chip runner even comes over to take his money and go get his chips, he's dealt a hand and he raises it to 25. So I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, this guy is going to be fun. No matter what else happens, this guy's going to be fun. So he gets one caller, and the flop comes out queen high with two spades, and he bets like 75 on the flop, and the guy calls, and then he shoves the turn, and the guy calls, the turn's a spade, and then the river comes out, and the guy made like a four-card flush with the ace of spades in his hand against trip queens. The guy had pocket queens, and he had flopped a set of queens. And so the chip runner comes back, and the dealer says, "We need." He says, $200. And the chip runner says, "Yeah, I've got your $200 right here." And he says, "No, I need another $200. So he's already busted out before the chip runner can even get back with his first set of chips. I am on tilt. I need another $200. I mean, he literally said he was on tilt. And
you make fun of my French. Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say, something tells me we're going to hear from our French literature teacher again.
So at this point, I've had a few cups of coffee, and I have to step away from the table for a minute. So I really don't see what happens in the next few hands. When I come back, the French guy has got another $200 in his hand.
Oh, my God.
The dealer's saying, 200 behind and whatever, and the chip runner comes over and she says, I need 200. And he says, I just gave you 200. He says, no, I need another 200.
Oh, my God.
So now
he's signed a personal chip runner for this guy.
He's now in for 400. He's now bought 200 more. He's in for 600. He then blows off, he dusts off the final 600, the 200. He has now gone through $600 in literally 10 minutes.
This sounds like my French doppelganger.
And then,
yes, it does, doesn't it?
Yes, it
does.
I was
just thinking of Mr. Valdez.
So he's got some French friends railing him or whatever, and he's now...
I'm pretty sure the friends are like, whoa, 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 friends is a strong word. Acquaintance is a baby.
His last hand, where he like raises to 25 again and gets two callers and then shoves the flop for 175, he has like 3-5 offsuit, and he's like flopped a 3. So he needless to say, he got up, and people were saying, hey, where are you going? Where are you going? And he said, you should have been in the hand. I was on tilt. Now you have lost your chance. And he like he flounces out of the room in a very French way. He throws his scarf over his shoulder, and he was gone. And unfortunately, I didn't get any of his $600. I've never seen someone go through $600 at a 1-2 table in 10 minutes.
Well, but in his defense, with the exchange rates, it was really like $7. So the cost of a Gold Coast buffet, so it's probably...
But I will say this, unlike Chris, and I don't mean to brag, but the last Ante Up cruise, I came back with a poker profit of $6. This trip to Las Vegas, I did quite a bit better than that. I came back with a poker profit of $45.
Yes!
Yay!
That is for 5 days.
That
is $9 a day that I'm making in poker plus comps. So I have to say it was a fabulously successful trip.
Man, I would give my left...
We know.
You know, for that story right there, buddy, I tell you. That's
Carlos,
awesome.
It would take you up on that offer, but we appreciate you taking it nonetheless, Chris. But, you know, the guy going through the money, real quick, I want to interject since, you know, I don't have a Vegas story, wah, wah, wah. But I do have a Florida story because we were worried about these new limits and the Floridians not knowing how to handle it, right? And I'm like, you know, I don't really think that's going to happen too much. Sit down at the table last night, guy goes, yeah, I'm over here from the, I was playing 4-8 limit Omaha, right? Yeah. He's like, yeah, I came in here today, played the 5-10 no limit, bought it for $1,000, lost it all in the first hand. So, yeah, I guess it's true, guys. So if you're not on a plane to Florida, you're missing out on this easy money. So,
holy cow.
Oh, my God. One of the things I happened at the table my last day there, this guy raises out of turn and gets everyone to fold because, you know, it was that sprinkler effect. When one guy raises, everybody folds right away, and then they finally realize that guy wasn't supposed to raise. So now everybody wants their cards back, you know. So he gets them all to fold. Then when he actually finally does get back to him, you know, they made him take his back, his raise and everything. He just calls, right? The flop comes, and he check folds.
Oh, my God!
And I'm like, that's got to be some sort of angle shoot. But it leads to something that happened out there, and I had this later on to talk about. But a button straddle in Vegas, it, from place to place, it changes. It differs what it means. And I was like, at the Palms, if you have a button straddle, the action continues as normal next to the small the big blind. And then it if there's no raise at all or anything, when it gets to the straddler, it jumps him and goes to the small blind and then the big blind. And then if there's still no raise or no action, then it goes back to the straddler. But at the Rio, and the same like in all the rooms that we were in Mississippi, you know, if you straddle, the action starts in the small blind. And that's what started the confusion with this guy who raised out of turn. Because there was a button straddle, and he thought that the action was supposed to start with him, and it wasn't. And that's just like, let's just stop the button straddles, all right?
You know what? I am going to second that, Chris, because the other unfortunate development here in Florida is this roaming rover straddle crap. And this Omaha game last night, two people had to straddle every time. And you're right. It you had to remember that it started here, started there. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I've spent 5 years learning that things go clockwise from the dealer button. And now all of a sudden you little jacks are going to be like, you know, oh, I want to play the game bigger. And it messes everything up. Just quit it. Just stop.
If you want to play a bigger game, play a bigger game.
You want to straddle, it's bad enough. But just do it, you know, when you're next to the big blind. None of this, you know, oh, I'm in the hijack and everyone else is straddling, so I'm going to.
Hey, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but Jack Effel, the guy who runs the tournaments, he on Facebook and I think on Twitter and at the Rio, he posted a note about security watching the parking lot very carefully for pot smokers and
yes,
banning them for life from the World Series if they're caught because it's so prevalent out there. Everybody smokes weed.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? I had no idea.
What'd you say, dude?
Dude, that's my skull.
What I thought was really interesting, too, is the Facebook post went up at 412.
It's 420. Jeez. You can't even get that right.
No,
man.
I wanted to see whether you were really a pothead, so I'm sending the cops over right now.
That's my favorite thing is when you're online and somebody's avatar name is Joe Schmo 420. I always like saying, hey, man, are you high right now? Because if they are, I start, you know, abusing them and stuff at the table. It's pretty funny.
Apparently it works. Apparently that's the thing to have.
That's
now.
That's the key, man.
So, might want to rethink that strategy there, bud.
So I ran into a bunch of Annie Up Nationals out there. Jason Finn, our good friend Chicago Jason, was there. Of course, Lee Childs, short stack Sheamus. And I said, you know, Big Dave, let me stay with him while I was out there. Him and his wife, they're like poker historians, man. They're really, really smart when it comes to the history of poker and what's going on now. And man, it makes me miss the days when I could just sit around and watch videos for poker and really stay up on the game. You know, it's just it's tough. I got so much to do, I can't do it anymore. But it was great seeing all those guys and hanging out with them, and I had a good time.
Where'd you play, Chris? Mostly,
mostly actually, the big mistake
doesn't sound like you played anywhere.
I played at the Rio. Because, you know, it was just convenient. You know, I had so much work to do, or if I had an hour to kill, I didn't want to get in the car and drive somewhere, so I would just go into the cash games there, whether it was at the small room on the other side of the building or in the actual, you know, not Amazon room, but the pavilion.
Next year you'll have to play Sacagawea to our friend Faso, who had no idea that there were low-limit games somewhere else in the building.
Oh, yeah.
No, I went into the Rio, and all I saw was, like, the 5-10 no-limit and up, and so I didn't realize they had a poker room there, too.
Yeah, the real poker room.
But
And it was pretty packed, too. And I remember last year, the reason why I went there is because last year I won a bunch of money in that room. And I thought it was going to be the same way, and it wasn't that the play was any better. It was just some bad beats and stuff. But a couple other things I wanted to say. You know, Scott and I are always looking to save a buck or two. You know, we bragged about how we didn't have to pay for any meals on our trips and stuff. I pretty much survived on media food vouchers. One, you get one a day. And Sasquatch's big stick.
Yes.
I wonder what the Jack's Link bonus buy that would be this year.
Yeah, it was this sort of imitation Slim Jim thing, but it was like 2 feet long. You know, you bit into it and your whole mouth felt like coated in oil. It was pretty gross. Oh,
man, but I knew I was going to miss out on something.
But I didn't want to spend too much money out there, so I pretty much survived on the vouchers and that. The only meal I paid for was when I took Dave and his lovely wife, Chris, out to dinner to Ellis Island, of course.
Oh, yes!
For the steak dinner special, we all had the, well, Chris and I had the root beer instead of the beer, and Dave had the beer.
Yes.
And then after that, I got to watch Dave play 100-hand draw poker for a penny a hand. He won like 10 bucks. It was hilarious. Watching all these draw hands go, and fill the screen up, and then, oh my God, you got a royal flush, you know. So that was pretty cool. We also went down to the Silverton. And watched the fireworks from there on the parking roof. They bought me dinner down there.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fireworks were out in Henderson. The fireworks were on the Strip. And they were everywhere but where we were. So they were all like these, they're just like these little poofs of light, you know. If you're going to go see fireworks from now on, you should go, you know, where they actually are and just choose one site and watch them there on the 4th. But it was cool. It was nice to see all that. Was the first night I was there. Man, it was hot on top of that roof, too, but... and that's, you know, as for poker, there was one funny story. This guy, we're playing, and the pot's in the middle, and I'm playing a 1-3 game, so there's some whites, there's some reds, and we're looking at it, and they're like, what the hell? And so, up until the river, there was a $1 card protector in the pot.
Yes!
And it was one of those cheap ones, like you buy the set for your home game, and it has like $1 on it. And they were like, hey, did someone bet a chip protector? And this guy sheepishly is like, oh, yeah, that's me here. And then we had to make change for his 5 because he had no whites. It's like, how do you bet your chip protector when you have no whites in front of you? Oh, my God, it was hilarious.
Did you ever play at the Excalibur, Chris?
Once. On the first trip out here, I think I played once.
Yeah, I had heard from some of our friends that there was a pretty good 1-2 game out there. And it's probably one of the rattiest rooms around. And it was a pretty soft game. In one hand in particular, I had a guy directly to my right who was a young guy who was obviously very good and very aggressive and knew what he was doing. And then directly – and I was in between him and this other guy directly to my left who was some kind of Ukrainian or Russian guy. And he was very irritable. I mean, I've never seen someone so irritable. He would, when the dealer asked him to push his chips forward, he would like glare at her. And so he was a very angry guy. And there was this one hand where there was a lot of money bet pre-flop. And then there was a, like an action flop. And the guy to my left made a gigantic bet on the flop. And the guy, the Russian, popped him. And he just called. And then on the turn, he like shoved on him. When the king came out, it was like a queen high flop, and the king came on the turn and also put a straight on the board. And the Russian folded. And it, as it turned out, the Russian had the best hand, and the guy turned over like a gigantic bluff. He had absolute air. Hmm. And it was like a $300 or $400 pot. And the Russian, you could just see the steam starting to seep out of both of his ears. And he's like, I win cars from people like you. You have put me in a luxury house. You people like you make me money. You make me cars. I will play you online anytime, anywhere you want. And they got into this thing. It's like one of them's going in one of my ears and the other one's going in the other one of my ears. And I thought for a second there it was going to be like some Eastern Promises type action that was going to go on right on the poker table, you know, where they were going to strip down and like grapple and like bite each other's ears off and stuff. But I love it when you get into these situations where they
grapple.
Or people say, well, what's your skin and where do you play? And I will play you 400 no limit. And the guy says, no, that's not big enough. I need to play you $800 table no limit. And he says, no, I won't play you 800. I will play you $1,000. I mean, it's like,
oh my
there's
God.
No game that's big enough for these guys to play each other once they start getting into this escalating thing. And finally, the Russian guy finally backed down and he left. But the thing I will say about Excalibur, they have that wheel there. And every time you get your aces cracked, they spin the wheel and you get like $5. So that's a plus.
Oh, my God.
So, Mike, can you do a Portuguese impression here, too? I mean, just make sure you get around the world in one podcast here.
Voices from around the world with Mike
Jose João Pires. I don't know. Is that Portuguese? I know they say that João a lot in Portugal.
Oh, man.
You know, I did win $10 playing two hands of Micro Limit Stud 8 on Stars in the media room while I was waiting for Mike the Grinder. So that kind of, you know, you win $10 online, that's like easily profit for what I lost while I was out there. So just a couple of miscellaneous things. Guys, really, you can't get it in the bowl? Really? You know, I mean, how many times do I have to go to the stalls and see, like, a yellow polka-dotted seat? I mean, all right, yeah, I know you're in a hurry to get back to your seat because it's the pee break, but really? It's a pretty big bowl. You know, it's a pretty small stream. Do you have to go, like, are you literally just trying to paint the seat? I mean, really?
Can't you just use your foot to lift the seat up?
Anything. You know what? It wouldn't even matter. They would pee on the seat while it was up on the back.
Oh, and another thing. You know when you turn the water on and wave your hands in the general direction of the water stream at the sink? That's not washing your hands. I hate to tell you that.
No, you need some soap.
You need soap. You need water. You need to rub the hands together. That's called washing your hands.
And I would much rather see someone just use the water than about the 30 people I saw at the poker room last night that just went straight to the door, and I am following them after I've just washed my hands thoroughly with soup and water, and they grab the handle of the door and open it, and I'm like, oh, man. So now I had to get, like, you know, a good thing I watched the Super Cup so I can do that little kick thing and use my foot.
Yeah, exactly.
To save the door, because I'm like, geez, come on. I just spent 5 minutes cleansing myself, and you just soil the handle.
And please, can we square this table up? Can we square this table up?
Oh, my God, we had that last night, too. And old guy goes, I don't think I can move anymore. Like, yeah. And he moves the opposite direction. I wonder if he couldn't move anymore.
Why is it that every time I sit down at a table, I'm between two people who are like those people on the airplane who the minute they sit down, they spread their legs like in a gymnastically wide position to try to, you know, conquer every square centimeter of space that is in their area. I'm like, it doesn't matter how big the table is. It could be a shorthanded table. I'm always scrunched up like within like a pencil up against somebody. And yes, I'm the old fart who's always going to say, dealer, can we square this table up? We'll live with it.
Well, Scott, I'm glad you brought up the World Bowl or whatever the hell that thing is called, because really, besides Gary Wise and me, are there any more American poker journalists left in the world? I mean, and do they really have to love this World Cup so much? You know, I'd be walking through the Amazon room, and I'd hear, ooh, and I thought someone got a bad beat. And I turn around, it was a close shot on goal. They got the World Cup on the TVs in the Amazon room. They got them on in the media room. And there's one of the media guys wore the Spanish flag around his neck while he was working. And come on, man. We're at the World Series, you know. Oh, it's crazy. A lot of people didn't even show up for the World Series because of the World Cup. It's crazy.
Well, they're both world something or other, so I mean, it's a tough choice. It's not like one's better than the other.
Oh, man, I couldn't believe it. I just, you know, I heard a lot of rumors, too. A couple of players who were sponsored by Stars refused to show up and play because Stars wanted them to be there during the World Series, and they're like, no, I'm staying where I am. So they didn't go, and they lost their deal, and oh, it's just crazy stuff out there.
Wow. Well, you know, we make fun of the football on the show, but I got to tell you, I'm hooked here. I'm a Tampa Bay rowdy now. And it's actually a fun game to watch. You know, it's no cricket, but you know, I'm getting into it a little bit. I'm no longer a soccer hater.
All right. Well, we'll check back with you in 6 months. See if you know what offsides means then.
No, I never know the rules.
Well, I chose a hand of the week to discuss, to really just talk about my poker playing out there. So I don't know if you want to go on to that, but I don't know. Mike, you have anything else that you want to talk about?
Let's hear this hand of the week.
Okay, let's hear the hand of the week here.
It's going to be anticlimactic here because we know you're going to lose this hand, right? So there's going to be some smooth calling in it and stuff like that.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I didn't say I could have maximized the pot or something.
Or this could be the one hand that you won.
I know. That's the beauty of it.
That would fit your MO, too.
Yeah. I predict there will be a float in this hand.
All right. Well, all right. Here goes. It was at the Rio. And I was down $100 in a 1-3 game already, so I had rebought I added another 100, so I was up to I had about 200 in front of me, maybe 220.
Topped off.
Yeah, you could buy in for it's no limit actually. Some guy bought, or no, it's 300 was the cap in that game. One of the games I was playing, there was no cap. It was like sick. Ooh. So it's 300 was cap. I bought in for two. That was all I had left on me. And all right, so I'm in the big blind. It's a 1-3 game, and of course the button straddles. For six, right? So at this place, it's normal. The small blind acts first when there's a button straddle. So the small blind calls. I look down at 9-8 of hearts. So normally, you know, I don't know if I would play this or not because I know the guys behind me are pretty aggressive, you know, and I like to be in position with suited connectors, but I was down, so I was gambling. So I call $3 more. There are four callers after me, all right? When it gets to the straddler, he now makes it 25. And the small blind calls. What do you do? Now, so there's four callers. That's $24 plus the original six from the straddler plus my six in the blind. So, you know, that's 24 and plus 3, 12. So there's like $36 in the pot. Of course, you know, the rake's going to bring it down to about 30 and everything. But he makes it 25. And there's another 25 caller. So that's another 50. So there's like $80 in the pot maybe. And it gets to you and you have to call 19 more. Do you call or do you fold?
Well, I definitely don't fold.
Okay.
I could be crazy and raise.
Mike, what do you do?
I guess shove.
All right, Mike shoves for 200.
I don't know if I could shove.
I'm such a nit that I think to myself, I've got $6 invested in this pot, and I'm out of position. I'm just going to go ahead and fold.
Well, yeah, here's the thing, though. You said it's an aggressive table, right?
Yeah.
And had a lot of limpers. I mean, those are the type of games that I'm going to open up and gamble a little bit in. If it's a nitty game, then yeah, I'm not going to mess around with 9-8. But that's the kind of hand that I want because I know if I hit it, not only do I win the pot, but I send these guys into a tizzy.
Yeah.
And that's really what I want in that kind of game. So I'm willing to definitely call here.
Okay.
It depends on how frisky I am. You're down 100 already, so I probably wouldn't get crazy and raise, but
right, okay.
If I was up a little bit, maybe, or I was having a good trip, yeah, I might try to punish him here and see whether I can get the play off his whole button straddle mandatory raise thing with like seven tray offsuit or whatever crap he had.
So
make him punish. But.
Let's say you were in that situation, you would have made it 75 with 9-8 out of position.
The table. 75. I don't know whether 75 is big enough, which sounds really funny.
Well, that's what I said at the beginning. Yeah. You got to shove.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think if you're going to raise, you got to shove. That's
all right, so
but I would probably just call here because it's more painful to call and suck out on them than it is to. Because, again, I mean, I'm half funny and half serious here.
I know.
The object here is not just to win the pot, it's to get people on tilt. So, you know, if my goal is to get them on tilt, I need to get them on capital T tilt, not just.
All right. Well, you know, I don't see myself risking $200 with 9-8. This guy wakes up with a hand, I'm screwed. So I would never shove.
I would say that. 9-8's a good hand to be screwed with.
All right. Well, I would just call here because I'm thinking the other guy's going to call and then I'll have the pot odds to play this even if I am out of position. So that was what I was thinking and I called. Okay. We got only one caller besides me. So we were three-handed going to the flop. The pot was about $120.
Okay. So there's four of us? Five?
Yeah, three. There's three of us. There was only one other caller. So it was me,
the guy, small blind, and you?
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, so it's just us three, the caller, me, and the other guy. So The flop is, and the suits won't matter in this hand, so I'm not going to tell them to you.
Ah, that would ruin the hand.
Well, I'll tell you why, because the flop is 9-8-8.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think, you know, I'm going to worry about flush draws here.
Totally killed your flush draw.
Yeah.
So. Can't catch a break, can you?
Right. So the small
blind.
You got
blind, a backdoor straight draw.
The small blind checks, and I check.
Of course.
Of course. So the straddler, the guy who made it 25 to go.
Let's call him Haas.
Yeah. Haas, I like it.
Haas bets 40.
Oh, yeah. My God. That is a pathetically weak bet.
Talk him into betting more, please. Give him the option. Hey, I'm sorry. That's only 40. I mean, really, it's not an appropriate bet, sir. I mean, we'll take a vote here at the table, and you can put more in. That's what I would have said.
So there's no hand I'm afraid of. You know, I'm like, all right, you know, if he bets 40, why would I want to scare him off if he's got the deuce 7, you know?
Right.
So
small blind. You got to think a while. You can't immediately call.
No, the small blind folds, though. So I had plenty of time to think because the small blind was in between us. He thought for a couple seconds.
Yeah, not only you got to get in the tank, but you got to change your swimming trunks for a while.
Small blind folds, and I just call. I don't raise.
Do you call or do you call?
Because I'm hoping that this guy, hoping this guy has something, but, you know, whatever. Maybe he has like ace nine to case nine or something.
Do you do any Hollywooding at all?
No, not really, because the other guy, the small blind, took a little bit of time, so it would have been kind of phony for me to just sit there. And so I called.
All right, so you got a hem and haw, but you can't Hollywood. There's an important line there. There is, because
I put the chips on slowly. It was sort of like a, you know, like
you want to
give
that
right.
little pause, but you don't want to do it too much because, you know, then the little radars go off even on the stupid players.
So now there's 200 in the pot, and the turn is a jack. And again, suits don't matter.
That's a great card for you.
Yeah. So now I bet out. I bet 80 into a $200 pot because I only have. You know, I mean, I guess I could shove there, but, you know, at this point, I only had about
one.
Into
it. You weren't going to let him take one more shot to hang himself.
No, because I was figuring at this point, if he had, like, an overpair, he might think I hit the jack and bet into him if he has, like, queens or something. So, and then if he had something like suited connectors and made it straight.
Yeah, see, but you're in the blind, though.
Yeah. But either way, if he has, like, queen 10... You know, or something like that, and that was the hand he went with. Now he's got it straight.
Yeah, but they're hoping that he has a hand. I would rather take the shot that he doesn't have a hand and wants to, you know, punish us a little bit more.
Well,
and I'm willing to get the free card and then bet on the river and because there's not a whole lot of cards that can come that are going to hurt us.
Right. Well, at that point too, I was thinking maybe if I bet into him, he might think I was just trying to steal it, and he might come over the top of me. But it was just instinctual. I just felt like I had a bet there, you know, by calling looked kind of foolish. So if I just bet out, maybe he would think, you know, this guy's trying to steal it from me and I have a better hand than him or whatever. So I don't know. He was pretty aggressive. Obviously he was a straddler. So I bet 80 and he just calls. So what do you think about that?
Well, I guess I'm glad I bet now if he just called.
Right. But does that make you nervous?
I would have been upset if he would have folded, which is what I was afraid of.
That doesn't make you nervous at all?
Well, I mean, there's only one hand that can beat us right now, right?
Yeah, jack eight, or you could have jack. You could have jack eight, or you could have jacks. So yeah,
jack.
Two hands.
You're gonna fold this hand, you know, at this point, no. So I guess I'm not too worried about it.
Okay, all right. How about you, Mike?
Well, I probably would have checked the turn, just to let him draw. You know,
let him bet,
reel off some more rope to hang himself, and because. I frankly, at this point, you're never going to fold, and you're going to have all your chips in the middle no matter what. So right. I would let him take the lead. But now that he's called, I'm still – this is one of those hands where I just kind of turn off the idea of whatever he could have because it doesn't matter. It's all going in.
Okay.
All right. So on the river, you're planning on pushing now then, Mike?
I'd probably check the river too.
But you said they're all getting in no matter what. If he doesn't bet the river,
I guess that's my point.
In.
If it's all going to get in, then you surely go for the check raise and shove it then, and not let your give yourself an opportunity to spook yourself with whatever the river is.
I'm not going to be spooked by the river, no matter what it is. And I want him to think that
so
I'm...
So you would rather go check with...
No, we don't know that... We don't know that he would have checked the turn.
All right, obviously, but if he checks the turn...
Obviously, if he checks the turn, I'm going to have to bet the river.
All right, okay.
But right. If he bets out on the turn after I check, then I might give him another chance on the river to bet some more. And then I'll shove all in. And by that time, he's obligated to call me.
I do think that on the turn, I was thinking that either this guy has absolute air and has to fold and isn't going to call any of my bets anyway, or he's going to have an overpair, and if I bet, he's going to have to call. So I was thinking no matter what, I was going to either not get any more money out of this guy anyway, or if I bet, he was going to have to call.
But I think the flaw in that is if he doesn't have anything, he might still bet the turn.
Right.
So you think if he checks the turn,
like I said, I mean, there's only a couple cards that could hurt us. I'm willing to give him that shot because my guess right now is he doesn't have anything because he is a button straddler who raised.
Right.
And I could be wrong, but generally speaking, those kind of people play any kind two cards and try to push you off hands. So I am willing to let him take another bet and maybe check raise him on the turn. That's my plan. And if he checks behind me, that's fine too. And I'll come out and bet on the river. And if I go broke because he hits one of these cards or he has something better than me, that's fine. But I don't like this thinking that he doesn't have a hand. I'm not going to get more chips out of him because if you give him an opportunity to give you one more shot at it, then you do have a shot at those chips.
Okay.
And if he does have you crushed, I mean, you're not going to fold anyhow, probably. So.
Okay. Well, just one more thing about it is I just felt like he had a hand. I felt like he didn't. It just felt weird because it felt like
weren't there, I was.
Well, anyway, it felt like he had a hand in me that he could call with, so that's why I bet into him, and that was why I bet. So I thought maybe he had a hand that he could call with, and when he did call, I was right. So I knew on the river, anything could happen there. I was probably going to get it all in there anyway. So, all right. So anyway, I bet ADD calls. Huh?
Yeah, but your original question was whether we should be scared they called, and I do have a little fear there. So. Again, I'm kind of a weak player, so based on that, I'll probably check the river and check call the river.
All right, let me ask you guys this, because you're always putting me on the spot like this. What do you think he has when he calls here, then? I'm trying to put him on a hand now.
I still don't think he has anything that has his beat, but there is the possibility. There's two hands that do beat us, and, I mean, he could have either one of them.
I think he might have something like pocket tens or something like that. That would make the big preflop raise understandable to some extent. You know, I don't know. And of course, when the jack comes, he's now open-ended on the turn, so he calls there. So maybe something like that.
Okay.
What was the flop action again?
The flop action?
Yeah.
I checked. Everyone checked to him. He bet 40. The other guy folded, and I called, and it was 9-8-8 on the flop.
I mean, that's consistent with either Jack or 10-10. So,
okay.
I don't really know whether we have any more information on where he is. So,
okay.
Two paint. He could have two paint cards. I mean, that $40 bet, as we said, seemed a little weak.
But I don't think he calls 80 with two paints.
No, I don't think he's going to bet with two paints either. There with that many people in the hand, I think he might just check and hope to hit something on the.
Yeah.
No reason to put more money in that pot with that many people. If it heads up, it's different. But
especially the turn. I mean, I could even see him making that weak $40 bet with two paints, but on the turn, I can't see him calling my $8 bet with, like, king-queen.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So.
Yeah. You know, I guess I'd put him on a pair, and I'm just hoping it's not jacks. That's
okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair enough. All right, so the river is a king, and now I check to him because I'm pretty worried.
That call
freaked me out. I thought maybe he had pocket jack. So I just checked the king, and now he puts me all in.
Of course.
Wow.
Yeah. So, of course, I call. And what does he have?
Don't tell me he turns over pocket nines.
No.
Pocket kings would be worse.
It's pocket kings.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And yep. I literally – now, you know how you guys always make fun of me because of the way I react in the home game. I never react like that when we're playing live in public. Never.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't. When I'm always like, I'm always pretty much very gracious and just say, hey, nice hand or whatever.
Well, I can't tell you how much we appreciate the fact that you're only a jerk in the home game, Chris.
Because you're my friends. I can be honest with
awesome.
You.
That's awesome.
I can
awesome.
Be honest with you.
You're a peach, buddy.
But I swear I unleashed some holy hell on this guy, man. I was like, are you kidding me? You knew I had an effing 9, man. And I just couldn't let it go. I couldn't let it go.
Now, wait a minute. Wait. Whoa. Let's rewind the tape, and I'll get Chicago Brian upset.
Or an 8. I knew I had an 8. I mean, you knew I had an 8 is what I said.
No, I mean.
This guy played at ABC
said,
all the way through.
Hold on. Hold it. Hold the boat here. Let's go to the videotape. And when Chris's turn bet, he says, I want him to make him think that I had a jack. Is
no,
that not what you
that.
Said?
I never said that once.
Oh, I think you did.
I got it on tape, buddy. I never
I
said I wanted
did.
To think I had a jack.
This is going
to
look hilarious.
Yeah, you're going to look ridiculous. I never said that in my life. Ask Mike. He's sitting right there. He's listening. I never said I wanted him to think I had a jack.
I don't remember that either, but...
Why would I want him to think I had a jack?
Well, because you're betting out on the turn now when the jack comes.
No, I said I bet because I wanted him to have a hand. I never said jack, ever. Not once.
All right.
Well, anyway, even if I didn't say that, but what's your point? I mean, because I'm still telling him I have a hand.
My
there.
Point is, he's got pocket kings. He raised preflop a generous amount.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that. Then it was checked around to him on the flop, and he actually has a hand. He has an overpair with a pair on board. I mean, that's usually what you want when you have an overpair is a pair.
Right.
And he made a bet, so I don't see anything wrong there. And a turn, when you bet out, I mean, you very well could have a jack. You could, you know, but it was how much you bet?
80.
80.
Maybe that's the one weakness. But I could still almost justify that call.
I didn't, you know, it's like if I had a jack in my hand, I don't think I would have stuck around unless it was jack 10. You know, on that flop for a $40 bet. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's how he thought it. Maybe he thought I had jack 10. And that's how he justified me betting into him. But how does he not raise there with kings then to find out where I am or whatever? I mean, he has to know I have an 8 there by betting into him. I don't know. I would think, but I guess not.
I don't think he has to know that.
Oh, my God. So anyway, I was 2 outed for this massive, what ended up being like almost a $500 pot.
Wow.
And that was how my week went. I had another 2-outer later in the week. Same exact thing. Same sort of thing. Not this way, though. I had a big hand. And I had the hand. I flopped like a set. And I ended up getting 2-outed like on the river. So it was some weird bet. But unbelievable. I lost a bunch of money on 2-outers. And that was what it was. It wasn't really that much of poor play. You know what I mean? It was just 2-outers cost me like a lot of money.
Yep, see, that's why you play limit.
Yeah, I know. And believe me, Scott, that was one thing I forgot to say. So there was remember last year, Scott, when I got really ticked off at Caesars and I went over to the Mirage and I played that horse game?
Yeah.
And I had a lot of fun with those guys. Well, two of those guys were from the Poker News Live reporting. And so the first day I get there, I see one of them and I walk up to him and I said, hey, man, remember the horse game last year? He's like, yes, you should have been there last night. And I'm like, been at the Mirage? He's like, no, you should have been with us. And I'm like, why? What happened? And they were playing 4-8 mixed games at the Wynn with Lex Veldhaus. Do you know who he is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's staying at the Wynn, apparently, and they'll spread whatever he wants if he's playing there. So they were playing 4-8, like, horse, but they also had, like, deuce to seven, single draw, no limit, and they were playing Badoogie. And I'm like, oh, my God, I want to play that game so bad. I said, give me a call if you play it again, and I never played it again. And it was like I went looking for limit games. I couldn't find them, so I kept being stuck. Playing no limit, and that's how I lost all my money. I won a bunch of it back on the last day, but not enough, man. It wasn't enough. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess could I have played this differently? What should I have done differently? Nothing, right? I don't think. Except, you know, maybe not swear at the guy.
Well, I wonder if you would have checked to turn any bet, which you would have, and you moved all in, whether he would have had to think about calling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, too, let's say I checked him and he bets like I did, 80 or 100, I only had about 80 or 100 behind after that.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So he couldn't have folded to my shove anyway, and then it would have been even worse watching it come. So I'm waiting for all that money to come to me. But
That's true.
But I just, you know, that was the way my trip went, you know, flop a boat and lose, you know. It was just the way it went. And I didn't know, I was trying to figure out a way I could play it differently, and I guess I could have folded preflop. Maybe with like I always say on the show, you know.
Well, isn't that what I told you to do, Chris?
Yeah, it is what you said. So I appreciate it, Mike. I wish our time did overlap out there so you could have nudged me
check,
at the table.
Check the tape.
Yeah, he did say that. I know you said that. Maybe you were the one who said I wanted to have a jack there. I don't know.
And go to knitnation.org.
That's right.
More poker tips.
Well, Scott, isn't this the portion of the show where you tell me what I won?
Yeah, but I already gave it to our good friend Christian, who will be writing in next week to not only Boucher me, but also Butcher Vaso, too, I hope.
Well, Mike, it was great having you on the show again. This is one of the more unique setups we've had to have you on the show.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I'm glad you came away positive 45. I'd have killed for that.
Well. You just got to play like a rock, and you'll get there.
All right, man. I
probably ate $45 in Jack's Big Sticks.
All right, I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Logg.
We'll see you at the table.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.